Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor April delivered the message. Her sermon was titled, For Myself. Here's Mason with our scripture reading.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that, answered them well. He asked him, which commandment is all the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is here, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is one another commandment greater than this? The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It has cleared up. The rain has stopped, and it is good to be with you this morning. I have moved from my tent to our outdoor worship space here at church because, you know, Compassion Camp can happen anywhere. We're in week 3 of Compassion Camp. Thank you for joining us on this journey to explore how we can show and share compassion. When we first began looking at Compassion Camp, we were really only looking at it for the children. But it quickly became obvious that the lessons taught and learned transcended age. Compassion is something that we could all use more of. And if we're honest, we could all do a little better at showing and sharing compassion as well. I've appreciated the reminders the last couple of weeks, and I've heard old familiar stories in new ways. Over the last 2 weeks, we've taken a journey through scripture led by compassion. First, we defined compassion as seeing others hurt, feeling others hurt, and doing what we can to ease that hurt. We've talked about seeing others and welcoming them to God's table and our own, regardless of any perceived misgivings. Compassion is offering forgiveness and welcome to all. Our children made centerpieces for their family tables and a treat to eat and share with their families so that they could practice the welcoming nature of compassion. We ask you to think about who you might invite to your table, or whom you might need to offer forgiveness and welcome. Last week, we learned that bravery is part of compassion and is not limited to superheroes or massive acts of bravado. Instead, compassion appears in the brave act of asking for help. Compassion occurs in offering of help even when you don't know how the story will end. Compassion is moving out of our own comfort zones and sometimes taking a risk to meet someone where their need is. Our children practiced brave compassion by decorating and sending postcards to someone who needed a smile. In most cases, the children didn't even know the recipient of their card personally, but they knew their need for a smile. They also baked some yummy treats, but this time, they shared them with a neighbor instead of enjoying them for themselves. If you've ever been around a kid, that takes some bravery in and of itself. We asked you to be brave and to show compassion by checking on your neighbors. I hope you did. I would love to hear about your experience and how you shared compassion. This week, we will explore the idea of having compassion for ourselves. It's a part of compassion that we often overlook. Our scripture finds Jesus surrounded by a crowd, once again teaching and challenging the status quo. Some in the crowd were there to listen and learn, but others were there for a much different reason. Have you ever seen the show The Floor is Lava? My kids watch a lot of this. It's a game show where families and friends attempt to traverse a room full of obstacles, surprises, and tricks in an attempt to get to the other side without falling into the lava, never to be seen again. I kind of feel like the Sadducees were forcing Jesus to play this game, but in question and answer form. If he answered one question the wrong way, he would fall into the lava of their legal trap, and they could have him put away forever. They asked him about taxes and the afterlife, setting up a slippery course that was sure to cause his fall. But Jesus expertly answered their questions with truth and a poise that surprised everyone. He challenged their way of thinking, but without giving them any grounds for his arrest. The questions kept coming, but this last one seemed different. A lawyer in the crowd asked Jesus, "Which commandment in the law is the greatest?" There's really no way of knowing if this question was asked in another attempt to trip Jesus over his own words, or in a genuine desire to learn and grow. No matter the intent of the question, the answer can't be argued. Jesus answered, "The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and mind." This was something that they had all heard before. Called the Shema, this was a prayer said in Jewish homes daily. Scripture encouraged the faithful to speak these words often and to teach them to their children. This wasn't a new concept, but rather a reminder of what they already knew, but maybe weren't living out. Then Jesus continued, "The second is to love your neighbor as yourself." When we hear this, we often hear the part about loving our neighbor fairly well. We know what this means and we know how to do it. Certainly, this is compassion in action. This is taking care of our neighbors, those who live near us and those who live across the globe. Loving our neighbor often looks like acts of service and gifts of love and time, but really it's so much more than that. Loving our neighbor is loving those who live, vote, think, speak, and act differently than us. When Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't say, love the neighbor that is like yourself, or love your neighbor in spite of yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps this is a reminder that God loves each of us. Part of loving our neighbor as ourselves is actually loving ourselves. This part of Jesus' greatest commandment is a little harder for many of us to do. Certainly there are those who think very highly of themselves, but many of us have a tendency to be more critical of ourselves than we are of others. We say things to and about ourselves that we would never say about anyone else. In fact, if we heard the same words that we say about ourselves uttered about a friend of ours, we would be highly offended. I don't know about you, but lately it's been even easier to criticize myself. I criticize my inability to get everything on my to-do list accomplished. One day I get irritated with myself for not spending enough time with my children, and the next day I get irritated with myself about not spending enough time working. I've always been the kind of person that's hard on myself, but this pandemic has certainly brought it out even more. I'm pretty good at offering compassion to others, but not so good about offering it to myself. And from what I'm hearing from friends and seeing on social media, I'm really not alone in this dilemma. It seems that many of us are withholding compassion from ourselves. There is just something easier about showing compassion for others than to ourselves. But if you've ever flown on an airplane, you've heard the flight attendant explain the importance of putting your own oxygen mask on before helping your child or seatmate to put theirs on. If you don't take care of yourself, you won't have the capacity to care for others. God's love kind of works the same way. First, we must accept God's love for ourselves so that we can share that love with others. Over and over again throughout Scripture, as early as creation, we're reminded that we are made in God's image. Throughout Scripture, we are told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we are known and loved by God even as we are knit in our mother's womb. God's love, grace, forgiveness, and compassion for each of us is overwhelming and humbling. Just as we are to pull down the oxygen mask and place it on our face first, we are to accept God's love and hold it in our hearts, hold it in our minds, and hold it in our souls. And once we accept that and embody that love, we are able to share it with our neighbors in a way that they can place that love into their hearts. Sometimes showing ourselves compassion feels selfish, but it's not. By doing so, we are fully embracing the gift that God offers to us. But how do we actually do this? We know how to plan mission trips. We know how to work with helping agencies and generally how to take care of other people. We know how to show compassion to our neighbor. But how exactly do we show compassion to ourselves? Psychologist Dr. Wei Ying Zi, in her TED talk about self-compassion, says that a good place to start is by paying attention to what we are saying to ourselves. Because everything that we say to ourselves, we hear. The more that we hear that negative self-talk, the more we believe it. Dr. Zi suggests that we spend a full day writing down every negative self-thought that enters our mind. But at the end of the day, the challenge is to rewrite every one of those into a positive statement as a practice of retraining our thoughts to be more positive. What would happen if we then put those positive statements in a place where we could read them on a daily basis? If we read these positive statements about ourselves, could we begin to believe them as truth? Can we retrain our brains and our hearts to speak words of compassion rather than words of criticism and doubt to ourselves? Can you go a full day without criticizing yourself? Can you do something that you are really good at and brings you joy and spend 10 minutes simply being proud of what you have done? Can you look at a photo album of friends and family and look into the eyes of those you love, but this time with a concerted effort to see and feel the love that each of them has for you? During our children's message this morning, you heard our camp song for the week titled, "I Have Love to Share." Did you catch the words? I have love to share with the whole wide world, but I start by loving myself. When I take good care of my heart and soul, I have love for everyone else. I love me so I can love you. God loves me so I can love you. I usually get annoyed when songs get stuck in my head, but this one is one that I think I need to get stuck. I need it at the ready so that my mind and my heart will listen. I hope that you'll forgive me if this song gets stuck in your head now too, but perhaps you need to hear it again too. In just a moment, we will come to God's table together, remembering that there is a seat for all of us. No one is excluded from the love, grace, compassion, and invitation of God. So come, sit at the table, invite a neighbor, and know that you are loved. Fill yourself with the love of God so that you might freely share it with others.